Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
It's not that we would celebrate our success. Success has been the god on the altar of man's achievement as far as church is concerned. The buildings need to be large. The pews need to be packed. The coffers need to be overflowing. And the names need to be emblazoned. But all of that is far from what God wants. God wants a real revival. This is the 4th of July weekend, the day we celebrate our freedom as a nation. We celebrate it with fire. Fire works, and fire does work. I want to preach about fire today, fighting fire with fire. It's funny how man flirts with fire, yet it is one of mankind's greatest fears. Pyrophobia is the term for a fear of fire that's so intent it affects a person's functioning and daily life. The text, Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with fire, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. There is the fire of promise. The very next verse, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. The first was the fire of hope. The second is the fire of judgment. You may be seated. Fire is the greatest threat in the Bible. Fire is the greatest threat in the Bible. It's talked about hellfire at the end of all humanity. It's talked about that the earth will never, ever again be inundated with a flood, but it will be destroyed by fire. The paradox of fire in the Bible, John in the text that I've just shared with you in two verses, gives us the startling distinction between the two fires of the Bible. A paradox. You know what a paradox is? Anything, any person or situation exhibiting an apparently contradictory nature. And there's nothing more contradictory in nature than fire. It would be difficult for us to live without fire. Even the lights that shine on us now are a result of fire. It warms our food. It keeps us from freezing to death. It sterilizes. It gives us light. But it also brings unbearable pain. It kills. It destroys. San Antonio is the home of the greatest hospital to deal with burns in the entire world. They fly from all over the world here when people are burned. It brings unbearable pain. But Jesus Christ also talks about a good fire. He rejects the fireless Laodicean church of the end time of which we are a prisoner, saying he will spew out such a church that is not on fire. The Bible talks often of fire. It talks about the fire of refinement in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and the purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. What is a refiner's fire? A refiner's fire melts down metal, such as gold or silver, for the purification process. Once a metal is in a melted down state, the dross or the trash in the metal rises to the top. It's then removed from the metal before it cools. God spoke this analogy saying that's what fire would do to the believer. It would take everything out of you that is not good and leave only the best. Peter spoke of the value of fire when he wrote and said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The Bible said that life is a few days and full of trouble, indicating that all people will endure fire. But only those that have a fire within are able to match the fire without. Those without an inward fire are destroyed by fire. Peter would continue and say, The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though he be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know everybody that attends this church intimately, but those that I do know intimately, I have observed them in the 40-some years of pastoring go through the fire. And so many people just could not endure the fire. They're gone. They just couldn't take it. But these people that sit on these pews that have been here 10, 15, 20, 40 years, these are people that I've watched go through the fire. And when the fire was over, they were like Peter. They were found praising and honoring and glorifying Jesus Christ. Very few people do that. The Bible talks about the fire of judgment. John the Baptist speaks of the truth of judgment by fire. But it did not originate with John the Baptist. I can give you at least 29 verses that declare there will be judgment by fire. Let's suffice with just two. One in the Old Testament, when one of the new, Isaiah 66:16, for by fire and by a sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. The other is the Apostle Paul of the New Testament saying, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And so that's the fire that we do not want to attest, the fire that we do not want to experience. But there are other fires in the Bible, and there are many. There's the fire of transformation. I said coming down the hall today to Brother Kenneth, I said the concern I have for the church today is that people are not changed. They call themselves Christians, but I can only identify their Christianity by the words that they say to me. I see no joy. I see no power. I see no godliness. I hear no conversation. The F word is just as plentiful in the Christian church as it is in the world. Shame on you. Shame on you. The Bible said, how can a fountain give forth bitter and sweet water? There has to be a transformation. There has to be a change that happens. That's not happening in our churches. People are coming in and joining the church and taking their place in leadership, taking their place in the role, but they are unchanged. And that's the reason why we cannot change a world. An unchanged church cannot change a world that must be changed. We must be transformed. And the only thing that can transform us is the fire of the Holy Ghost. The Bible opens the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and it opens with fire. And ladies and gentlemen, there has not been a fire in most churches in so long that they are nothing but kindling. And God wants the church of the living God to catch on fire. Moses, when he was called to lead God's people out, was signified that he would be the leader by his observation of a fire and what a fire does. As he's traveling along, suddenly sees a bush on fire. And that wasn't the big deal. The big deal was that fire did not consume the bush. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the fire of God's anointing will transform you. You cannot be the mother, the baby that came out of your mother's womb and be what God called you to be. You must be born again. You must be set on fire. There must be a passion. The kingdom of God must be bigger than your family, bigger than your job, bigger than your bank account, bigger than your aspiration, bigger than your calling, bigger than your occupation. It's got to be the main thing in your life because it is eternal. It is eternal. The fire of God's anointing will transform you. But like the bush, the normal to the supernatural, you're transformed. Suddenly, just for no reason, you're on fire. God set you on fire. It will change your personality. It will change your outlook. But I'll tell you what it will not do. It will not consume the normal. When it got through, the bush was still the bush. You're still going to get up and go to work every day. You're still going to be a loving husband and a kind mother. You're still going to be a friend and a helper to your neighbor. You've got the normalcy, but suddenly you're normal in so many ways, but then there is a supernatural on fire side of you. I don't see that in the church today. We've got to do whatever is necessary that we will not be Laodicean, that we will not be spewed out of the Lord's mouth, but we will be burning bushes in a world that has not seen the church on fire for years. We are a church that is excited about the enticement of ice cream, but we're not so excited about the fire. You let an ice cream tinkle down the street and children will follow it. But you let a fire truck go by and everybody stops to see where the fire is. We are in the business of selling ice cream more than we are the showing the world the fire of the Holy Ghost. The church must get on fire or there is no hope for America. Jeremiah, he talks about that fire. He talked about being in such desperation. He was rejected. He was excluded. He was ignored. But he said, this I will not make mention of him. He said, you censor me for talking about God. I won't mention him. I won't speak any more in his name. But then he recanted and said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Ladies and gentlemen, the world wants you to shut up. And you can concede the point and say, I won't take my Bible to work. I won't mention my Christian convictions at school. I will not bore anybody with what's happened to me. Or you can be like Jeremiah, say, I'm sorry. I repent. I recant what I was because there is a fire shut up in my bones and I simply cannot be stopped. God did something to me. If God's never done anything to you, you will never affect anybody for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not just about a doctrine and a handshake and joining the church. It is about being equipped with the fire of the Holy Ghost, fighting the fire that is in this world with a greater fire, and it is the fire of God. The word of God is a fire inside of me. At my darkest moment, Jeremiah said, I won't sit down. I won't shut up. I won't recant. Fire me if you must, but I'm going to speak of the Christ that saved me and bought me and traded me from hell to heaven. I will not stop in Jesus' name. And I salute the football coach that was fired 5 years ago for praying at the 50-yard line after every game. He only prayed less than a minute. He didn't induce anybody else to join him. It was not a big deal. It was a simple moment of acknowledging that his God was with him and he got fired. But the Supreme Court ruled in his favor this week that you can pray in your school in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you it is a dark day in America, but there are light breaking through at all crevices and cracks. There is a better day coming. It does not take a world. It only took 12 disciples to turn the world upside down. And it only takes a minority of a minority. The church is a minority, but those that are on fire in the church are a minority of a minority. And if we will get on fire, I promise you, we can do something about people dying in the backs of pickup trucks. We can do something about the drug epidemic. We can do something about people being slighted and put in the back of the bus. America is waiting for the church of the living God to get on fire. Do you have a fire in your bones? If you do, nothing can stop it. The disciples on their darkest day on the Damascus Road, have you ever thought you made a mistake? The disciples did not understand much in advance. They only lived from day to day. They understood bread being multiplied. They understood Jesus walking on the water. They understood the blind hearing and the deaf hearing and the blind seeing. They understood that. But they did not understand the real push of the kingdom of God. And when Jesus Christ died, they fled Jerusalem like rats on a sinking ship. And some of them were on the road to Damascus. And there Jesus joined them. I don't know what your darkest day has been, but I can promise you, if you've got fire in your bones, Jesus Christ will join you on your Damascus dark road experience. And as Jesus walked with them in their despondent, depressed condition, suddenly their eyes were opened and they realized all hope was not lost. And ladies and gentlemen, I bring to the American church that same message. It is a dark day, but all hope is not lost because Jesus Christ is not forever dead, but thank God he is forever alive. And he is on the dark road with you. And the Bible said suddenly there was a fire in their heart. They said as they walked with him and he opened their eyes, suddenly their hearts burn within them. You need a holy heartburn. You can't sleep at night because you have indigestion and heartburn because you ate a plate of enchiladas just before you laid down. That's not the heartburn you need. You need the heartburn of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you that says all hope is not gone. The best days are yet ahead of us. Revival is on the horizon and there is light breaking through everywhere, a fire in our heart at the depth of our despair. And friend, we cannot talk about the fire without talking about the fire at Pentecost. I'll tell you what's wrong with the Church of America and around the world is an absence of Pentecost. Pentecost, it somehow conjures up ideas of people in Appalachia handling snakes. That's not what Pentecost is. The word Pentecost, it ought to conjure up one thing, and that is people on fire for God. People being baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Peter that could not go one day without cussing and throwing a fit and denying Christ is suddenly a transformed, changed, empowered individual because of the power of the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with the American church from so-called charismatic Pentecostal churches to the Catholic church? There is one real problem, and that is we simply are not endued with the power from on high which Jesus promised in Acts 1. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the core of nature and is set on the fire of hell. That's what he said about the human tongue. You don't believe that? Watch Fox News. You don't believe that? Turn on CNN. You don't believe that? Listen to the lyric of the rappers. It is a very, very thing of hell, the tongue of man. But on that great day, the Bible said when the church, there is no hope for America besides the church. It's the only thing that has a written guarantee by Jesus Christ signed in blood. And I will have a church, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lady, you are the only hope for America. Sir, you are the only hope for America. Get on fire. Get on fire. Get fired at work. I promise you, if you would go to work and talk about Jesus with such authority that it changed people's lives and he'd give you a pink slip, Jesus Christ will give you a reward. Ladies and gentlemen, we must set this world on fire. We must become holy arsonists. This world's in trouble. It's waiting for somebody somewhere. And must we let the appearance of the Antichrist be the next great event on the horizon? Or can the church appear before the Antichrist and declare Jesus Christ the Lord of all? Oh, but oh, hallelujah, something happened to those people on the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. We need that sound again. As of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ladies and gentlemen, the church of the living God is the only hope. But before we can administer hope, we must again be endued with God's power, set on fire. There's a miracle waiting to happen in your mouth. There's a miracle in your fingertips. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. How many people realize there is a demon infestation in America today, and nobody knows how to cast it out? They simply give you a vaccination and another pill. This thing called this epidemic that we're going through is a mysterious thing. It can't be defined. It's akin to cancer where you just can't quite get it isolated. We don't know what it is. Has it ever occurred to you there might be a demon behind all of this? Has it ever occurred to you the stage is being set for the church of the living God to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick and they recover? Has it ever occurred to you that God has set a stage for you to be a superstar in the Holy Ghost? Has it ever occurred to you that you might not have a doctor in homiletics, but praise God, you've got the power of the Holy Ghost, and God intends for you to heal your mother-in-law. God intends for you to save your brother-in-law. God intends for you to be a fire on your job. You cannot sit down and be Laodicean. You were born again. You were set on fire of the Holy Ghost. You've got to join the Apostle Paul and say, my heart is indicted a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Is there anybody in this building that has got something on their heart that is about to burst? Is there anybody in this building that has ever touched the King? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm like the Apostle Thomas. I have put my hands in his scars. I know Jesus personally. He is a real entity. He is a mighty God. He is a Savior. He is a soon coming King. He is the hope of this world. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the mighty God. I have touched him. But if I've touched him, it set me on fire. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The writings that you do, Sister Gloria, your writings, your articles, your poems, they must be set on fire of the Holy Ghost. We need some people that have got such an anointing on them that people weep in their presence. It was said about Smith Wigglesworth that he'd walk into a factory and the machines would stop, and people that didn't even know he was in the building would just begin to weep because there was such an anointing fire on him. You can't have that anointing. God's use of you does not depend on your ability. It depends on your anointing. It's not your ability that breaks the yoke. It is your anointing that breaks the yoke. Have you ever touched the King? Is your mouth now a tongue now a pen of a ready writer? God set us afire. God set us afire. The fire freed the three Hebrew children when they were cast into the fire furnace. The fire was so hot, it killed those that threw them in. And they threw them into the fire furnace, but look what the fire did. It didn't harm their hands. It didn't harm their legs. It didn't harm their feet, but it broke. It burnt up the ropes that bound them. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, there is a fire inside of you that is stronger than any fire in the world, and what the world means for evil is going to loose you and set you free, because the fire will burn your ropes and set you free. That's what God is saying to us today. We need to be like the Hebrew children. We won't bow, so we won't burn. We won't compromise, so we will not be destroyed. What the devil means for destruction is going to be turned into promotion. God's got a plan for your life. You're not somebody. You're everybody. You are magnificent. You have touched the King. You're on fire for God. Hallelujah. Greater is the fire that's in you than the fire that is in the world. Elijah came and did his miracles, but when he got ready to leave, the Bible said there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind. Ladies and gentlemen, the fire that will destroy most people is going to catch you up into a whirlwind of God's blessing. God was saying, I will take the most devastating thing to mankind and transport man to glory. The very worst things in this world are going to be used for your good if you will get on fire for Almighty God. But in closing, ladies and gentlemen, the church is making a tremendous mistake. We know we need a fire. We know we need a miracle. We know we need the supernatural power of God. Everybody knows that. Nobody has the answer. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the Libertarians. Nobody has the answer. This world is in a mess. And we realize that we need supernatural intervention, which is symbolized by the fire of God.